Dad would always call, get him to answer, move away from the bird, call again, get him to answer, then go towards him but not call anymore.
Yeah.
He said that's always so they're looking past you. He said they know right where that call came from. And he said if you call away from them, and you don't have to go far, like 20 yards, if you call away from them, he said it creates urgency in that bird because they feel like that hen's leaving them. And he said, and then you walk, go 100 yards towards them, sit down. And he said, they're going to come to that last call. And he said, you can cut them, but no more calling. You know, he's not a call a whole lot kind of guy.
See, I always, when I get in the woods, I always try to throw the call behind me.
You don't
but, I mean, how are you going to find it?
Yeah. It gets in the leaves.
You know, if I, yeah.
Ah, got him.
Usually.
No wonder you ain't killing any.
Right, yeah, man. He's like, I call twice.
If you're throwing the decoys behind you, they're not going to work either.
Yeah. But no wonder. Anyways, when I'm sitting there, I usually look back at my car and say, boy, I wish I had you up here. No.
Wish I had my call.
Yeah. I usually just sit there and I'll turn my head and kind of push it back behind me so maybe they won't pay much attention to me, you know, when they come through.
Yeah, right.
Well,
well, we could get back on if we want to. We
let's start this.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was good. I think that's got to stay. That's got to stay. No, that's good. Okay.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside. Ozark Traditions
in the great outdoors. All right, guys, welcome back to another Ozark Traditions TV podcast. I'm TJ with Matt and Justin, and Matt, as always, it's turkey season, boys. Are you excited?
You know it.
Justin, I know you are. I know. I've been watching your Facebook post, man. You've been just tearing them up.
Yeah. You guys want to tell your guys' story before I go into mine?
Well, I mean, all right, here's my story. Well, I can't say I haven't been. I went today. I got a little rain day today, and I went out. Believe it or not, turkeys gobbled this morning. Not a lot. 3 or 4 times. Flew down, went the other way. Story of my life. I sat there as long as I could stand it, so about 20 minutes, and the rain quit.
The patience of Job over here.
The rain quit, so I thought, well, I'm going to go down to this other field. I know there's turkeys down there, too, and I got down there, and there's turkeys down there, but they's already down there. I got snuck all the way around them, and I set up at the far end of the field. It looked like they were going that way, and I sat there till 12:30 watching them in the other end of the field, and they just... It was a Tom. He had 3 hens and 2 Jakes with him, and he wouldn't... You could call. They wouldn't even look at
you're,
it. They
didn't you're not budging them right now.
No. I mean, it was just... He just sat down there and strutted for 3 hours, and that was it. And I was just thinking of the old days when I used to bobcat them, because there's a big creek runs around that field.
Yeah.
Thought, boy, I could go jump in that field, creek and walk up there and pow. But, boy, and then I'm thinking, how am I going to film that, especially by myself?
Right.
It's tough.
I didn't even try it. I just
didn't even go bobcat him. Well, I tell you what, the only turkey action I've had this week's been in my lunch bucket.
Yeah. Usually.
You know what I mean?
It's not bad.
At work.
With a little cheese on it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't been just great turkey hunting weather. I mean, the first 2 days wasn't too bad. Monday and Tuesday.
Opening day was pretty
nice. Yeah.
Opening day, boys, it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if I wasn't here at work, I'd kill bird easy.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
You know, it's hard to work and hunt at the same time. I feel you guys.
You can't.
Well,
you can't.
It just depends on where you're working at, and I'll leave it at that.
Right, yeah, I guess if you're working close to something. I don't know. I'm never not hunting. Like, I'm always watching.
Well, I'll tell you what. My season started off wonderful.
Yeah?
Saturday, I spent a lot of time looking for birds.
Saturday? Oh, you should.
He started early.
He said it started early.
started early. I started scouting Saturday. I knew birds was around from youth season.
Yeah.
So I started kind of watching them, what they were doing, where they was going, you know, everything, kind of trying to make a game plan for Monday morning. Well, Sunday morning, I did the same thing. Went out, watched where they was at, fly down, cackle, gobble, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. Well, Sunday afternoon, I get a phone call. Hey, there is a lone gobbler out here in your field strutting. This was at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, I think. I said, is he gobbling? Oh, yeah, he's gobbling his head off. I said, okay. So it took me about 10 minutes to get around. I got over there, which I sent you guys the video. He was in the backfield. I hit the call three times, and he was within 15 feet of us in about 5 minutes. So we sat there and watched him. He never strutted. He just come running. So somebody said he was a two-year-old. He has no spurs, and he's got about a 10-inch beard. And he'd pop a three-quarter-inch strut every once in a while. He never would go to a full strut. So after we let him walk off, I sat there for 20 minutes and thought, I'm coming back after him Monday morning. Well, fast forward to Monday morning, I get down to the bottom of the hill of our property, and I hoot, and he hit. We was about 125 yards off of him when he hit. So I ran up the hill, put the decoy in, got set up. The sun started coming up, and I seen him flap his wings on the roost. I thought, okay, this is the textbook hunt, guys. This is how it's supposed to happen. I hit him with two tree yelps, 6:35, he flew down. No, 6:45, he flew down. Because I looked at my watch. At 6:45, he flew down, and at 6:48, he was at me. And the problem was, when he was coming up the hill towards me, I just so happened, I was set up to shoot my left side. Well, I was getting set up. I told the cameraman, I said, he's not getting to the decoy. I'm going to blow his head off before he gets there. As soon as he gets in front of him, I'm going to kill him. Well, when I was getting set up, I caught a coyote right behind my decoy. I thought, good gosh, this is all I freaking need, you know? Well, it veered the gobbler off to my right. Well, I had a bunch of brush behind me. I couldn't swing to my right. He come 3 feet behind the cameraman, and he was about 5 foot from me when he got to me. Well, I sat there looking at him, and I looked back at the coyote. Well, I opted to kill the coyote is what I opted to do because I never could get a shot on the gobbler. But he was still a single gobbler the next day. And so he walked off. He didn't run off after a shot.
Oh, you shot thankful. At the coyote.
You yeah, shot the coyote.
And you didn't kill it? Justin, well, come on.
I was, dude, if you had, would it, if the footage would have been fit for TV, I'd send it. But
he doesn't it's not want fit. No, he doesn't want no misses on here. I'm the only one that puts a misses on.
No, it's not a mess. I blew a gasket because this 2 years in a row I've had a coyote come in on me, you know. And
hey, don't you got a buddy live down there, Corey, I believe.
Yeah, that shoots some things.
Yeah.
Well, I've done pretty good managing. This is the first time I've ever had a coyote come up on this place because we've shot a lot of them off there.
Yeah.
And this was a pup. This was probably about a year old pup or so. So he didn't know what was going on. And
you've educated him now.
Yeah.
He's going to be scared.
I really, really wish I would have just stood up and blown the head off that turkey, then turn around and shot that coyote.
Yeah.
But, you know, hindsight, whatever. But I got to go on a tangent because.
Oh, I thought you
I got a Facebook. No. I got a Facebook message the other day. Matter of fact, I got a couple of them. And, because, you know, I kind of put the story out there what had happened. And these people think, you know, turkey calling, you have to be a pro at turkey calling. I'm not no pro at turkey calling. Are you guys?
Well, I mean, I took lessons from a pro.
Yeah, I didn't call. I didn't call him from Eddie because I didn't want to embarrass him.
Right.
You know, but no, I'm no world class turkey caller.
I wish you could see the footage of Matt running that slate call. You want to see some world class?
Well, my point is, these guys was like, well, you know, if you could call better, or if you killed more turkeys in your life, or you knew how to do this and do that, dude, it don't matter. If a freaking gobbler's hot, he's coming to a call. I was using a $3 mouth call, and he was a running to it. You know, I mean, it does not matter. If that gobbler is as hot as can be, and he's by himself, he's going to come to you.
Here's the deal. You know, if they're worked up, they're hot, they're going to come. I feel like no matter how good a caller or bad a caller you are.
All right.
Now, if you're, you know, if you're Alex Rutledge and you can call one, or you're Eddie Salter, maybe some of those birds that hang up on you or I, your average turkey callers, maybe those guys can call those birds in.
Nah.
But I would say most of the time,
they're going to come.
What's going to happen is going to happen, whether or not you're a good caller or not.
I've spent some time in the woods just like you guys. Have you ever heard a wild hen turkey call?
Yeah, some of them old gals need to work on their
call. I said underneath one. I said underneath one this morning, yesterday morning.
Yeah, you know, Phil Robertson said it best, and now he was talking about duck hunting, but it goes with turkey hunting too. You go to all these turkey calling competitions and these duck calling competitions, and just like Phil said, he said a duck couldn't win one of those.
Right?
No,
a turkey couldn't win one of those turkey calling competitions.
Oh. It don't, it doesn't, the point is, it don't matter how freaking good a turkey caller you are. If that turkey's not interested or he's not hot, you ain't getting him.
No. And that's what I'm running. Then that's, you know, so far from what I've seen, I've only hunted one day. But, like, today, I couldn't budge them turkeys. You could have called at them till you blew in the face. Doesn't matter. When they're hand up like that, it's me and Matt said 100 times, you got to hunt them like deer.
Yeah,
you got to pattern those birds. You got to see what they're doing every day, and that's what I'm going to try to go in the morning before work. I'm going to try to get, because they're coming through this little gap. I showed Matt
little pinch point,
and I said I'm just going to set up on that. You know, they're by seven o'clock.
You know, I'm not doing nothing tomorrow. So if you want to send me the GPS coordinates, I'll come scout for you.
Yeah, it's down here, over here at that. You go down that road. It's over there.
So I got a question.
Mile marker 35.
I got a question. So what were they, the turkey come in, so what was everybody griping at you about?
Just that I could have kept him there and this, that, you know.
With
that
with
there's
the
no way. If a predator comes in, you can't keep him there.
Here's the deal, buddy. I don't care who you are. Eddie Salters couldn't have kept a turkey there.
They're like, well, it was only one coyote. Now, there's three or four coyotes, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the bird come in, I mean, he was looking like, I mean, he was a bobblehead. Because I seen the coyote, I know he seen the coyote, and he wanted so bad to go to that decoy, but that coyote was right in there, and he knew it, and I knew it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just shut up, because one of the two was going to get popped. That's just all it was to it. And I chose the coyote over the turkey. But, It just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, well, that's just social media. It's better off to just don't even.
I did not respond to him because I knew.
Well, that's what they're there for. That's what they're trying to
do. Yeah, I just pushed it out like, you know, you guys don't, you know, you guys probably still use a box call and never even tried a mouth call or this. Yeah, I just pushed it off, you know.
Yeah. Well, as we're sitting here, Matt's scouting his spot. He's got a cell cam on
Matt Smith.
Matt Smith, yeah, on his strut zone. He's getting gobbler pictures as we're sitting here doing the podcast. It's pretty cool, the world we live in nowadays.
Yeah.
You know.
Matter of fact.
It's the technology has just blowed up since even, I mean, you know, we're old men.
I mean, I ain't got no cell cams, but.
Hey, they got them.
Be cool.
It would be cool.
Pretty nice.
I got no cell service, boys. Right, so unless you can talk AT&T into putting a tower in.
Nah.
I like my cell cam. I think Matt's got one too, but I've got the Reveal SK with the solar panel on it. And
Fancy.
That to me, that's the best one. I mean, the one like Matt's got, I think yours is just a regular Tacticam, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, I had
one of them too. It worked, but it went off all the time.
Well, I think that, but I think it's like an X or something. Is that right? Something X.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not their first one. It's something else.
Yeah.
X something.
The ones they had at Bass Pro, isn't that where you, well, I mean, they got them all at Bass Pro, but I don't know. I'm not that. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now.
I bought mine at Walmart for $125 on sale.
All the word I've heard about them was the Tacticam's the 1.5. And it doesn't matter what model it was. Everybody swears everything I've heard about them.
Well,
Now, what about the Wise Eyes that do they make Alex Rutledge, I don't know if they're kind of teamed up with
them
or whatever.
They're good cameras. They're really good cameras. But here's the deal with the Wise Eye. You're going to pay double the price for the data plan.
Right.
Gotcha.
I think it's $25 a month. But you get a little bit more than just pictures. You know, you get pattern. It does a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't discount them, but, I mean, it just depends how deep your pockets are.
Well, I was going to say, how much do you want to invest in it? Because you can go get the cutty back system.
Boys, my pockets, I don't know about you, but they're not that deep. I can reach all the way to the bottom of them.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's got like a sewed in the middle.
Mine's got lint.
Mine too. Yeah, mine too.
But as far as that goes, you can get as crazy as you want because I think Cutty Back makes like a 5-camera deal that runs off one camera.
It's on that magazine upstairs I just got.
And now that is, but we're talking.
That'd be the way to go.
What it does is you have all these cameras out, but they send all their pictures to this one camera. You can put like one camera at like your.
Yeah.
Parking spot wherever you're hunting, you don't have to go walk the whole farm to check your cam. Now it's not
okay,
a cell
but
cam.
Then, here's my deal. Okay, so then it takes these pictures of these turkeys, right?
Right.
And I get set up. And they fly down. They come out in this field about 125, 130 yards with 411 hens, and they just camp out. That's where I'm at. So I don't know.
That's what they're doing right now. I mean, the turkeys I've seen, they're henned up crazy. Which it's early, you know. It's,
now this week, all them turkeys in my lunchbox. I've been able to call all those in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they've been working.
But,
right.
I'm going to go back to Monday.
Yeah.
I left about 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock that morning. Come back to the house, sat down, regrouped, got over being mad, and went back out, and I struck that same bird again. I never could see him because... You know, you're in the woods, and a lot of stuff happens in the woods when you're calling turkeys. I know a lot of people like it. I personally don't like being in the woods turkey hunting because I can't see where they're at. I like an open field. Well, he busted me. I don't know where he was at or anything like that, but he busted me, and he's gone. Yeah.
So I guess it just kind of depends maybe what kind of woods you got to hunt. Like how open they are or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of like hunting in the woods myself.
The problem with field turkeys is they'll hang up bad.
Yeah, and I feel like turkeys in the woods don't do that as
well,
much.
I mean, if they can't see you. See, okay, like when you're hunting turkeys in the woods, you don't need decoys. You need to set over the hill from them.
Right.
And make them come and look. Because once they poke their pecker over top of the hill, you can blow their head
pow.
Off.
That's what I'm. That's why
you know. But in a field, they get out there. They're looking.
Right. They can see 500 yards. Well, like, well, I don't.
And it doesn't. If you've got a decoy out there, they're just like, well, she'll come out. If I sit out here and strut all day, she's going to come over here to me.
Right.
Which is something that I was talking about with Matt on the ride over here. You know, my idol, Michael Waddell. I watched a deal on him yesterday because I'm trying to figure out what decoy. And he swears up, he won't use a hen decoy. He said, if you're going to go out and hunt with a decoy, he doesn't like decoys anyways. But if he does, it's always a male bird, a jake, or a quarter strut, or like the shoot and scoot.
Little silhouette deal or whatever.
The reaping thing, But he always uses a jake decoy because he said, every time a gobbler, it seems like when they see a hen, they're going to just stop. Now, and I know I'm saying that, and how many people have killed gobblers over a hen decoy? Hundreds of them. You know,
you.
But I'm not saying they don't work.
Right.
But he said that he always just uses a Jake decoy.
Well, my dad never used decoys ever.
Well, that's what he said. He said your best option is to not use a decoy. Yeah. And he's like, you'll be surprised on how many birds will come up there, even in a field.
And I'll tell you another thing. My dad probably killed 98% of his birds in the timber.
Yeah.
Never field
hunting. Well, I mean, good thing. Timber hunting is like Justin said. It sucks because you can't see what's going on. So you get antsy.
Right. Well, if you're patient and you just sit still.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Because I kept calling and I hit him with everything. I hit him with a cut. I hit him with everything I had that I could do. And he just hung up. One minute he sounded like he was 11 miles away, and the next minute he sounded like he was within shooting distance, and I never could find him.
Yeah, well, and it's one thing when you're sitting in the woods and they're gobbling back at you, because then you know where they're at.
Right.
But when they shut up, man, it'll...
Oh, it's tough.
It'll drive a guy nuts, because you just don't know.
Unless...
I knew what direction he was, and I kept looking that way, but I never seen a fan. I never seen him move his head. I never seen nothing, you know?
Which, the woods right now are pretty bare.
Right. Well, in our neck of the woods.
I was sitting in some cedars, is what has happened. I struck him, and there's 30 acres I hit him in, and I ran right back to the edge of that 30 acres on the fence row. Except I told him, I said, as soon as he gets through this cedar, because he's coming, as soon as he comes around this cedar right here, I'm going to shoot him through that fence. Well, he never came. I mean, it sounded like he was coming, but I don't know if he was hung up with a few hens and we was just talking back and forth or what was going on.
Don't know. I mean, calling to him a lot sometimes will mess it up.
So here's the deal. There's so many different strategies. Yeah. You talk to five different guys. You're going to get five different, well, you should have done this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any one right answer. You've just got to do what you feel in your gut is the right thing to do in the moment. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, guess what?
Yeah.
You get to go again tomorrow, man.
Yeah. Well, and another thing is you got to figure out what kind of turkey you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, there's different birds.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Some birds, you hit a call, they'll come running right to you.
2-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And then some birds, you hit a call, they don't want nothing to do with you. You know, birds that have been hunted a whole lot, publicly in turkeys for sure.
Well, and how many times have you called, you got a bird answering you, and you're like, well, I got this bird fired up. And then you wind up killing a bird that never made a peep and just cruises in there.
Yeah.
You know.
That happens a lot.
There's so many things that happen out there.
And but I think a lot of the older turkeys are bad about the coming in silent. You know?
Monday morning has been the hottest bird I have been on in 4 years.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was surprised this morning. Because it was raining this morning when I got in the blind. And I hate sitting in a blind, but it was pouring rain, so I had to. And they gobbled, you know, for 5 minutes there. And then they flew down. They flew down quick this morning. I don't know if that's a thing they do when it's raining. They just want to get out of the tree and get on the ground. Because, boys, I'm telling you, 6:15, 6:20, they were on the ground.
Yeah, they want to get out there in that
field. That's another thing I haven't, and I'll publicly say it, I have an issue with knowing when they're on the ground and when they ain't.
Oh, it's tough. They always sound really loud in a tree.
Yeah.
So something I've noticed about turkeys is in a tree, they sound really loud.
Yep.
And then when they get on the ground, you're like, oh, he's going away. No, he's probably facing the other way.
Right. Well, and that's another thing, too. Like you were talking in the timber, you said it sounded like he was a long ways away and then close. He's probably strutting and spinning circles.
Yeah, because as they turn.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I told the camera, and I said, he's doing circles down there, so he's probably got some hens. And it's not the same. I really don't think it was the same bird.
Probably not, because that other turkey you said come right up to you. So I'd say
he would have come running, and it would have been over.
Well, he's got that mindset. See, like I said, you got to figure out what kind of bird you're dealing with. And if he's got a bunch of hens with him, in my opinion, don't even call to him. You just got to. You got to be like, well, which way are they headed or what are they doing?
Yeah, you got to cut them all.
You know, because they're not going to.
Or do you call a bunch and get a hen fired?
And you know, there's a whole nother. Because I've done that before. Me and Matt's done that.
Yeah.
You get them hens and, well, Matt, we filmed it. this year. Had them birds come off that hill. I called them hens, and the gobbler stayed on top of the hill, of course.
Yeah, it was. That's sweet of him, wasn't it?
Yeah. But them hens was up there, and I was like, man, if I can just get these hens fired up, they'll drag him down here. Well, I mean, I was wearing them out. Well, they finally had enough of it, and here
they come. Yeah, I watched that show. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, you didn't watch it live, though. You were over there sawing logs.
Hey, I still got to watch it.
Yeah. But I got them fired up, and they come down there, and I just knew that gobbler, and he stayed up on the hill. But
I had a...
And maybe because I called so much. I don't, you know, if he's an experienced turkey, they're not going
to. No, they're all experienced out there. Like, oh, there goes Matt and TJ. Look at those putzes going. I can hear their box call squeaking in their turkey vest from here.
Them turkeys out there just.
They're mean.
I had a hen a few years ago. I was calling and I thought, man, whoever's calling back to me is a dang good turkey caller. I need to take some lessons. So I just sat there and I'd call back. She'd respond. Well, then I heard something come running through the woods. Here she popped right out. Right, I bet she wasn't 10 foot from me. I thought, holy crap, you know? I thought, boy, if it was this fall, I'd just blow your head off.
Those hens, but, if you could ever get the boss hen, she's going to come up there.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to.
She didn't like decoys.
Yeah.
So, you know, we went back to that.
Well, here's my deal. And I'm thinking maybe decoys just aren't the ticket. Do you hunt with decoys, Matt?
99% I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
So, okay. So here's.
Well, because here's what I'm going to. I'll let you.
All right. You know where I'm going to go.
With a decoy, if you don't have one out there, it's not going to mess anything up.
Right.
So if you get a bird that don't like decoys, you're not going to mess it up. If you get a bird that do like decoys, he's going to come in there and he's going to be looking for something. So you're almost better off to just don't use one. Because,
yeah.
My problem, like in the woods, I have no problem with it. But for the longest time for me, like in a field, I'm like, man, I got to have something for them to see to get them to come down here. I don't think so, man.
But what happens is you get a week in the season, second week, frustration kicks in. You might as well just flip a quarter and go, okay, heads,
yep.
Use a decoy.
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as you put one out, they're liable to just go the other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Just come out in the field and they're gone.
So here's.
Yeah.
Okay. I've duck hunted with this guy, and his name's TJ Schlitt. Maybe you guys have heard of him. And I'm always like, well, how many decoys?
Ain't he a professional duck hunter?
Yeah, well, semi-pro, anyways.
Yeah, okay. Semi-pro, yeah. I seen him sign an autograph the other day for somebody. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think Fred Zink wanted his autograph. But anyways.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was. It was Fred.
I probably owe
him. I'm like, how many decoys are we taking today? And he's like, no, we're not going to take a whole bunch of decoys. We're just going to take like, you know, I don't know, four or five dozen. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So only like four trips.
But hey, in the duck world, that's not a lot of decoys.
Well, yeah, it is on a, I'm not taking very many decoys trip.
Right, yeah.
On like, boys, we're going to take a lot of decoys today. I'm like, I'm bringing a trailer.
Yeah. I've got them.
So TJ and I were talking earlier today. And I was like, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a pile, an absolute pile of decoys. Just, I want to try it one time and just fill her up. Like those flocks you see, you know, you'll see seven or eight hens and a gobbler with them.
That's what he said. He said,
I want to just put a flock out there, you know, seven, eight hen decoys, a couple feeders, couple upright, whatever, maybe a bedded one, whatever, and just try it. And see, because I think.
Well, and we were talking about it and we're like, well, nobody's done it. And I'm like, well, you got to think about this, Matt. Nobody's going to pack around seven turkey decoys.
Right. Which yeah, I wasn't planning on doing that. I was planning on taking them, like stashing them in the blind.
So you've got like a permanent spot.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You could just throw them in the blind when you get there in the morning. We all go out there like setting the duck decoys out.
And like me and TJ were talking, okay, I've got my big food plot. And so like you watch Ace's turkey hunt. It's just, it's weird to me, and I don't understand how turkey's brain works, you know, and luckily none of us here do.
We'd kill a lot of them if we did, huh?
So there was 18 birds in frame at one time that I had on the camera, okay? Half of them split off. They just go out in a green cow pasture field.
Right.
The other half split off and go to the food plot. Now, you would think whatever they're picking around, you know, there's clover and wheat in the food plot, like they would all come over there and eat on that, like deer would do.
No.
But they just split up into two groups. And like one of them goes one direction, one goes the other direction. We go back hunt the next day. They all stayed up on the ridge field until later in the afternoon, and then they all filtered back through that food plot. But they were just cruising on. They were just going through there.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't like they stopped and fed there per se.
Right.
So my thought is, if I put a little flock of hens down there, maybe I can pull a tom to that food plot, because they know that those big groups of hens.
And I know there's probably some people laughing at us, but you think about it. Nobody, who have you ever seen that's ran more than three?
Yeah, two, three decoys that's is max. What I see.
So has anybody even tried it? So well, it may be the ticket, but then again, I say that if you don't have a permanent spot.
Yeah, it'd be kind of tough.
If you're hunting publicly and you're not going to pack.
No, no, yeah, it wouldn't be practical, but I've got a place
I'm
where I can.
I'm sitting here running this through my head because I've got a permanent spot I set up today that I'm planning on going to the next day or two.
Right.
And I've got a couple, 2 or 3 feeder hens and a couple of lookout hens.
Yeah.
I thought about
just
putting
it.
That all out and putting a jake and a gobbler out with them and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, make it look like a flock of turkeys. A flock of turkeys.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm sure somebody's listening to this laughing. And
oh,
you know,
and
what?
It may not Yeehaw. Work. We don't know.
I don't know, but
we really don't.
You know what? If you put a flock out there and you bust one up, then who's the dummy now? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and
and that could be the secret trick to this time of year where they're hinned up real bad.
Well, maybe.
And then you might just go in there and throw a half strut of jake in there. Right. Something in there.
Well, that's like right. Matt. See, right. I've got that quarter strut, half strut jake. Whatever. You could throw out 5 or 6 hens in that jake, and boy, that
you got
made,
that many out there, and you got an.
Well,
old
I mean, the big gobbler comes out and he sees all these hens in that jake over there. He's not going to like it,
right?
Because you know, well,
he's
gobblers.
Gonna,
are
he's
gobblers.
Gonna, he's going to be thinking to himself, "That's easy money over there, boys."
Well, look at these turkeys. All right, you see these two gobblers? They live together. They're brothers, most likely. They're homies, hanging out all the time. You go up there, boom, blow the head off one. The other one jumps on him wanting to kill him just instantly like that. They just change. They've been hanging out together for 3-4 years now. He gets his head blowed off. He's flopping around. George jumps on him.
Right.
You know, the turkeys are just, they're mentally like when it's this time of year, or just like a buck.
Yep.
You go out in the summertime, them bucks are all together. 2 months later, they're ready to kill each other.
Yep.
So a turkey, you get another male turkey, and I think that's why everybody's like, hey, always have a male turkey decoy. Now, I know publicly, and I'm not going to recommend it, guys. It's just not safe. And even private land, it's probably not.
Depending on where you're at.
Right. But, you know, but a male turkey this time of year, you're trying, because like trying to get him to come to a hen, you're doing it backwards.
Right.
Whether we like it or not, the way that the wild works is, oh, Tommy boy goes out in the middle of the field, struts his stuff, the hens come to him. Kind of like me and with my wife. Like,
right. That's what I've you read my mind, dude, right there.
I mean, I just stood there and here she come. I mean,
ask Brittany.
Like, yeah.
That's how it went down.
Right. Ain't quite.
Back to putting a flock of turkeys out there with a strutter or with a half strutter or whatever. I wonder if a guy could implement a gobble in there and entice that gobbler to
I have a gobble call.
Yeah.
And I've used it.
I've used it. And it gets their attention for sure.
Yeah.
Here's my... Okay, I'm not a huge fan of like a full strut tom decoy. And it, I mean, me and Matt's killed birds with them, a double. And then you catch them in the right frame of mind, it's deadly.
And that was also
three gobblers
that were
by
together.
Herself.
Yeah.
But I like the quarter strut and the jake just because it's not as a... Because you don't want to scare them off. I mean, unless you just know you absolutely got the boss tom.
Right.
Because then he's not going to care. But if you've got like them two-year-old birds, which all of us are probably hunting, you got to be careful because you can get too scary.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if they've had their tail kicked a couple times, they're not going to run up in there. But like another jake strutting. Now, I've noticed like if you get a group of jakes...
Yeah.
They will come and jump on a tom decoy. They'll jump on a tom. And I've had that happen to me before, too, like a gobbler's goblin. Well, then these jakes find him, and they'll run him plumb off.
Yep.
And that, you and know, what do you
to me, that's fun to watch.
Not really. When you've been calling that turkey all day and the jakes come running off, ain't that fun. I've had a few jakes
hey,
lose their head.
You know what?
Because
the way
of
I look
stuff
at
like
it.
That.
The way I look
me
at
too.
It. Once you skin that jake out and put that breast in the frying pan,
oh, they all
nobody
look
the
same.
Knows
oh, so,
the difference.
So last year, if you guys didn't watch the web episode of Matt's turkey, we had a big old tom come off that. And we had duck gobblers all over us, guys. Like the video didn't do it no justice. Like these birds surrounded me and Matt that morning. And we had them as close as 60 yards behind us that morning. Would not come off the hill. That gobbler comes out in the field, and then
Then, well, and it looked like he was going to do it.
Yeah, and then he just, them Jakes just, he was like, nope, went right back up there. And then here old Jakey Poo come across the field. And I mean, I said in the video 45 minutes is how long that bird was there. And I guarantee it was not none short of at least 30.
Right.
You know, I exaggerate just a hair. I get, you know, theatrics.
Right.
Got to sell it. But he was there for, I mean, me and
if Matt. If my face didn't sell it, nothing would. You know what I'm saying?
Me and Matt literally had this thing already cooked. Like, how are we going to do this? Are we going to smoke it? Are we going to fry it? Like,
oh, yeah.
Macaroni and cheese.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't miss, huh? That'd have been awkward.
Yeah.
That, I had the same thing going in my mind Sunday night when I went to bed. I couldn't hardly sleep because I knew I was going to pop that Tom, you know, because he was that easy to call in. I'm like, man, this is money in the bank right here. This is what makes the big boys look good at times like this, you know.
Matt said it best. About time you think they're going to do something, they're going to do something totally different. About time you think you got them figured out.
Well, I mean, I had him figured out pretty much. Once I roosted him, I knew what was going to happen. Until the coyote, I didn't even, that was a factor that wasn't even in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
My mind was, I got this hen set up. He's right there. He's going to fly right down to this hen. He's going to do his morning wing flap, and I'm going to kill him. So.
Huh. All right, guys. Well, we're going to take us just a quick little break here, and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast. Hunting with my family.
Who could ask for more? Put that in the blooper reel.
No, that's got to be in the. That's in the main cut.
Yeah. All right, guys, welcome back. We're telling jokes. It's good.
We're talking turkeys.
So
we had to take a break to pick on me.
Yeah. What we were talking about was, you know, how good a turkey can pinpoint where you're at. It amazes me, like, that turkey could be 500 yards from you, and you call, and he'll walk to the base of the tree that you call that. That just blows my mind that they can do that. So, like, we were talking was maybe call, you get one to answer, either go forward 60 yards, 50 yards, and set down, and maybe don't call anymore. And I've seen a lot of guys, if you're lucky enough to have two guys, is you could have somebody calling behind you.
Right, yeah.
But.
Well, what we were talking was, like, how my dad would do it. Is he would call, and actually, if he get a bird to respond, he would back up on him. So he'd back up, you know, 20, 30, 40 yards, call again, get that same gobbler to answer him. Well, it sounds to that gobbler like that hen is working away from him.
Right.
So if he's fired up and wants to come to that hen, you know, it creates a little sense of urgency for that bird. Then he would set up further forward on it, you know, obviously. Yeah. And then not call anymore and just sit and wait.
And I can't hardly do it. But I know with the calling thing, I feel like less is more. And it is so tough for me because I'm a duck hunter, all right? And when you duck hunt, you call a lot because you got to keep the birds interested. You know, of course, they're flying 60 mile an hour too. They're not standing out.
Well, and also, if you have that there ADHD,
yeah,
like it gives you something to do.
Okay, so anybody that's watched me do a Facebook Live or anything, if I don't touch my hat at least 25 times, something's wrong. Like, I'm sick.
Or his arms are broke or something.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sit still. I really can't. I'm pretty sure it rubbed off on my little one there because he's just as bad. But he sits still good when he's sleeping. He doesn't do too bad.
I'm impatient as they come.
I am too. Well, and I'm like you, Justin. Thing, if I can't see them, it drives me nuts because I don't know what they're doing. Like today, where I set up, I was up in a draw. The turkeys was out in the field and to my right, probably 300, 400 yards down the other than this. I couldn't see. When I went, I had an awesome setup, big old log, like they wouldn't have seen me. But I couldn't see if they were doing anything. So every once in a while, I crawl back out there with my binoculars and look, same spot. They did not move all day today. They stayed in like a 100-foot circle all day.
Now, this just kind of reminds me. All right, so you heard what he just said, right? He crawled out there to check on him. Uh-huh. We were hunting a place one time, you and I. Uh-huh. And TJ crawled on him to check on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He crawls out there to check on him. He comes back, and he had that look at like, oh, man, they gone. I know, and he's going to give me bad news. And I said, well, he goes, yeah, they was coming. I was like, what happened? He's like, oh, they saw me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've done that before.
Oh, the worst feeling in the world, because I crawled up there, and I'm belly crawling, and I'm like, well, I don't know where they're going to be at. And I poke my head up. They're about 20 yards from me, and I'm like, dang it. I just laid back down, and, you know, with deer, you can do it. Like, if turkeys. You pop up on them, and they see you, and you just lay down and give it 5 minutes, they'll forget about you. Turkeys, nah. He's like, I know that guy's social security number. I seen him long enough. Like, they were gone.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And do the walk of shame back to Matt, because we've been sitting there on these birds for a solid hour and a half trying to get him to come up there.
And a couple years ago, I did that. I set my decoy up. It was midday. And, man, I had this bird just to hammer. And he was a Jake, because you could tell he wasn't, his gobble wasn't real deep, you know. And I thought, man, where is he at? And I heard him come out in the field, and he hammered real hard, and I thought, all right, here he comes. And he just shut up. I waited.
I give it 3.5 minutes at least.
I was like 10 minutes sitting there with no call. I was like, this is killing me. So I thought, I'm going to crawl up there and see if I can see him. We met at the hill.
Yeah. Never fails. I thought,
you've got to be kidding me. No,
never fails.
I used to go out quite a bit back years ago, and just before season, just film. I like to take camera out and film. Yeah. We was over there by my in-laws, and I'm down this creek. Boy, them turkeys, they gobble and everything. Same thing with the creek, you know. So I'm sitting there, and I peek up over that creek, and I see one down there. I mean, he's a strut, and I mean, he's a big one. I thought, oh, man, I'm just, you know, get closer to video. So I sneak on down the creek. I'm getting closer, and I can peek, and I can see him up there strutting. He's, I mean, about one of the biggest one I ever seen. Finally, I got on down there, and I raised up and looked, and I thought, man, I ain't a turkey. That's an Angus cow sitting there. Yeah, it was facing away, and it was an Angus cow. He was a big one.
We were talking about that the other day. I told Matt, I said, man, I've belly crawled turkey buzzards. I said, I've bobcatted stumps. I said, it's going to happen to you, man.
I guarantee you.
I've literally sat on a field, sneaked up on a hen, belly crawled on a hen. Across the field, soaking wet. And
I reaped a gobbler a couple of years ago. I never got a shot on him, though, but I got close enough to him to see his eyeballs. I mean, they just pinpointed me like it was nothing.
That,
you know?
That reaping thing's cool, but it's just impossible for us trying to film it. It's just so
tough. Well, it's not impossible to film, and it takes two people to do it.
Yeah.
One person's got to stay back, and which I wasn't filming then, so it wasn't no big deal. So I reaped across this open field on a I got on the gravel road that goes through the middle of the field, and that's where they busted me at. Cause I didn't think they stayed that close, but they did.
Yeah.
And time I got up, they was already 100 yards off.
Something else about turkeys is you don't realize how fast they can move. Like, you can see them out in the field, and you think, oh, man, I'm going to go hurry up and get down there to the other end of them. Well, by the time you get down there, they're already down there.
Yeah.
They can cover ground, and it don't look like they're moving that fast. Like, you see them out there feeding or whatever, you think, okay, I can get.
Yeah, they can feed across a field pretty quick.
Very quick. I mean, they're.
Yeah.
I'm going to give some advice to somebody that's maybe not turkey hunted that much, and maybe they feel like they, you know, they can't call, or they, you know, they just don't have the experience. But here's the deal, and a lot of people's probably not going to like it, but here's the little tip that you can do. First of all, find the turkeys. Turkeys usually have, which I always call the strutting ground or strutting zone.
Yep.
They have a place they're going to go. 9 times out of 10, some, like you were saying a while ago with calling.
Yep.
Some of the best calls is no call at all.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even call.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you can get in that place, if you can stay there at the 1 o'clock, and you're in their area, you're going to have an opportunity to harvest a bird. Now, I get it. It's not the calling and the gobbling and the strutting and coming up that everybody likes, right. You know, but that could come later. You know, get that first one there under your belt, and then you can go. But guarantee you.
Yeah, you can
kill birds without having to call and just find them.
Yeah, if you put in a little bit of effort scouting, mm-hmm. you don't have to even have a turkey call.
Right. Well, here's another tip, like what Matt said. Sometimes, you know, not calling is the best call. Mm-hmm. If you see them birds, especially a tom or some jakes running at you, shut up. Just be quiet and let them come on in.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you hit that call three times and they come running, just take that mouth call or box call, whatever you use, and pitch it to the side and get your gun up.
Just throw a call behind you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go on with it.
Pick it up later.
That's right.
After you kill it.
I tell you what, speaking of turkeys running, a couple of years ago, the year before me and Matt got our cameras and started filming, we was over there. First year I got you to go turkey hunting at your place. And we had this big old tom decoy, and there was three gobblers at the end of this field. And I crawl out there, and all I was trying to do was stick the decoy in the dirt to try to call them up there.
That good.
Okay, at Matt Miller's, the Flying M Ranch, you cannot stick a stake in the ground without a hammer. So I'm like, man, I'd stick it up and it'd fall over.
Matt, you're good at growing rocks too, huh?
I got them.
So when it fell over, them gobblers seen it. Well, then they just like picked their head up and they're looking. And I'm like, dang it. I was like, Matt, turkey decoy fell over. So I crawled back out there and I picked it back up. Well, then they seen it again. And then I could see them and I'm like, and I put it back down and boy, they started running. Then I picked it up and I told Matt, I just turned around. I said, get ready. He's like, what? And I'm like, they're coming. I was like, shoot them before they jump on me, you know, because I was to the right of Matt. So the turkeys would have to pass him to get to me. And here they come. And I mean, beard swinging. They're just as hard as they can run. And it's so incredible to watch how their head goes from white to red. I mean, just like that. Like they got up on me and they whole head changed colors. Because I was
close. Like they're holding their breath.
No, I was close. A little closer than I wanted to be. Because Matt, birds come in. I hear click. I was like, oh, no. And then boom, he finally killed one. And then he throws me my shotgun, and I shot the other one. It was a crazy deal how it all turned out. But
yeah, I had a misfire, and I know TJ was nervous.
Oh, they were coming on me, guys. Like, they were feet. They were feet away from me, less than 10 feet. Like, they were coming.
It was almost, TJ, was it almost like running with the bulls?
Yeah. Well, I got lucky is whenever he clicked, they spooked just a little bit. And they got away from me a little bit because I knew Matt, like if they'd have kept coming, he wouldn't have been able to shoot him. They'd have been on me. But when it clicked and he was shooting old pump shotgun, so he had to tung. Well, they seen him a little bit and they turned and kind of started walking away from me. And then he sawed that one's head off. I mean, it was pretty cool watching from my view. But and then I
bet it was.
I stood up and I said, throw me my gun. And he just launches my shotgun out. It was all safety, guys. Safe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was unloaded. It was unloaded as it was flying through the air towards
sure
you.
Sure it wasn't. So I grabbed it and then boom, I shot the other one. And I thought,
only if you could pull that SD card out of TJ, you'd have some good footage, huh?
Oh, that's right. Man, I'll tell you, it was a wild deal. But
that's what inspired
the old Robo-Tom.
Yeah, I may have built an RC car full strut Tom decoy. We may have to bust it out. If nothing else, just we'll get a little video
see
of it.
See if it works. I would have to, because that's another thing with turkey decoys. I feel like you got to have some movement of some sort.
Yeah.
I know with ducks, it's 100%. If you don't have movement in your decoys, you're not going to, they know better. If you've got a perfectly calm day and the water's perfectly slick and there's ducks there and there's no ripples in the water, the ducks aren't that stupid. They're not going to, they're like, okay, them guys.
That's a trap.
Those guys are hunting. Let's carry on, you know. You put a jerk strain, tie two or three on there, and you just jerk it around, and it's moving. And I've had them land on my dog. Like, shoot a duck, and the dog be out there swimming, and they'll see just his head. And I guess he looks like a duck. I don't know. And they'll try landing on top of his head. So,
and this goes back to Justin, the people talking about, you know, you're not killing it or whatever. You know what I mean? Being a better caller. But here's the deal. And everybody on here listening, well, no, it changes. We tried when we was doing it, we're trying to get the best footage that we can get. Therefore, I'm hunting in a field.
Right.
I'm not the running gun, and I haven't run and gunned in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
And so there he goes. And then people probably wasn't trying to film either. You know, right. What I'm telling you is,
yeah.
And it's not bragging or whatever, but back in the day when I'd go, I'd kill my two birds every year and be done.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, because
you did it and you'd go. And
I could have snuck down that creek, popped over the log and shot one.
Well, I should have killed two birds last year. The first bird I had kind of come in behind us, and TJ's like, man, I can't get swung, get the camera.
And I mean, he's all over us.
And I was like, well, I can shoot him right here, right now. And he's like, well, I can't get him in frame. And I said, okay, we just let him go.
Let him go.
But I mean, it was
like I said, you know, we've already got things against us because we're trying to set in a tree stand or a tree stand, a blind. What, James and him, what, today?
Yeah.
They killed one out of a tree stand, a Jake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, come across the field. He did a Facebook Live, and you know, he was in a tree stand or box blind, you know, they killed one.
Yeah.
Well, but we're in a blind. So we're already stationary. We're making it extra hard because they got to come by us to kill them.
Right.
Yeah.
You can see them out there in the field 60, 70, 80, 100 yards all day. But till they come up by, you're not going to get a shot.
Right. It's tough.
Yeah.
Especially like I hunt by myself a little bit during the week because I can hunt. I got the opportunity to hunt a little bit before work. I got about 2.5 hours before work. So if I can get on a bird quick, I can kill it. And you can't run and gun by. You can do it with two guys. You can kind of do it. Because we've done it before.
Yeah.
But as far as one guy, I got to be set up before day. Like, unless I can get somewhere, get set up, and call the birds to me. But they're just not doing that right now.
Even the running and gunning a little bit with two guys where you got a cameraman and a hunter, you can do it a little bit, but then they've still got to, the birds have got to do it perfect.
Yeah.
It's still tough.
It's tough.
I mean, Michael and all them, they're doing it, but they got a GoPro over here on their side, so they're talking. Well, they're going, but they still got somebody there filming them.
Yeah,
you know, they're not just recording with that GoPro holding it up there, and they're going, and
I ain't trying to throw no shade on nobody, but they might be hunting a little bit better ground than us too.
Oh, I'm sure
they might have a couple more birds than we've got to pick from.
Well, and the problem we got is it's what the farms me and Matt hunt is so wide open you couldn't.
Yeah, the sneaking is.
You about can't even get up and tie your shoes.
Well, you know, we busted into a run and gun situation Monday on that one bird. And I told the cameraman, I said, you stay back at least 15, 20 feet from me because I'm going to walk up here and I'm going to strike this bird if he's here. And I started yelping. Then I went into a real hard cut and started yelping again. And that's when he went off. And time the cameraman caught me. They were like, I can't keep up with you. I'm like, well, that's good because I didn't need you right here when I got here because you need to be behind me, you know. Yeah. And you got to kind of plan it out when you're running a gun with a cameraman.
The filming is it's tough. It makes it tougher. Like I said, today I could have snuck up that creek and shot that gobbler I seen today. I could have.
Yeah, it's not that we're bad hunters. It's just that we're trying to do something.
Right.
You know, if I just wanted to go kill a turkey.
You go kill one.
I go kill a turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, just like Monday, I could have killed that gobbler. No big deal.
You could have got up on your knees and shot it.
Or you could have killed it Sunday when you called it in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have did that.
Right. You could have done that in kill day before if you wanted to kill
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, and be honest with you, if you can do that to a gobbler, if you can call him in twice, maybe even three times, and you're a mediocre, terrible caller like I am, you don't know what that does to your confidence. I mean, you can think you can call any turkey in the world then, which I know I can't. I just got to find the right one.
But I'm losing confidence in you, man, because if you've called the same three gobblers in three times and ain't killed it yet, something's going on.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's kind of a rare deal, too. I mean, it's just one of them. Yeah, it don't happen all the time.
No. And here's the deal. Like we were saying, killing one's one thing, but trying to produce some quality footage and get it all to go down.
Right. I mean, I could stick a GoPro on my shotgun, and you guys, Matt, could put it up there, and you could see that turkey. It'd look like he's 2 miles away from me.
Right.
Yeah, I could do that. No problem. You know, it'd be easy. But
even if I would have killed that bird, he walked 3 feet behind my cameraman Monday morning. And he kind of turned and made 5 foot to me. Even if I would have killed that bird, he wouldn't have been on camera because the cameraman was so scared to move because
Well, and that's
they was
like,
afraid they was going to blow the bird out of the way.
That's right. Where it comes back to sitting in a blind and trying to film it. It just makes it so much easier because you can.
Oh yeah,
it makes and, it easier know, to film it, but it's way harder to kill a turkey.
Yeah,
I haven't killed one well, probably 4 years.
The rhino, yeah. With the Rhino 180 blinds, if anybody has those, it's a lot easier to film because you've got 180 degrees to watch that bird come in.
Yeah. Well, it's still, but then you're trying to get the turkey to come to right where you want it. Yeah.
So, saying that, did you hunt out of it? Was you in the 180?
I'm going to.
Oh, so you
I'm
wasn't?
I'm going to. I went and set it up today.
I think that just added, it'd be nerve-wracking, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because you'd feel like you're sitting out in the wide open, wouldn't you?
I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't exciting, like it. I don't know.
That'd be cool because they can't see you.
Yeah, that's what they
you
say.
You just got to get it through your head that they can't see because you just like, you're going to be like, man, I'm sitting out in the lawn chair and this turkey's 3 feet from me.
It just goes against everything, you know.
I put all the windows up in that 180 because I sit there and I put my hand up like I had my shotgun in the crease of that window and I pulled it down. Dead bird. I mean, I'm just going to leave windows up and just stick the barrel through the window and just pull
well,
it down.
Well, that because you can film through that. You could put your camera on manual focus and film through that. Well, see, it wouldn't be the greatest, but you could do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, self-filming the rest of the time.
Well, and like me, this morning, I had all but one window with the camo net on it. Because I can film the turkey coming. Like if he come, I could film him walking through the mesh. And then
see, when I had the boys, I had all the windows up except for the one.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, with little kids, I mean.
Yeah.
And you're better to just leave.
Well, with little kids, that 180 would be great.
Yeah. Well, and like when I used to deer hunt, I hardly ever used a blind. But before I was filming, if I would, I would have a hole, guys, the size of a softball. That's all I could see out of.
Right.
Because with deer, they're just. Deer and ground blinds don't go together. They just don't.
Yeah,
it's a pain in the butt.
If you get them up early enough with deer no, could care like less because there's no danger.
I like the tree stand thing. I like being up above them. No, I don't know.
But, you know, this going back to the deer, I had a, you know, the blind that we hunted out of. I had a Browning game camera on the other side facing towards the blind. So if I got some, maybe I'd get a pass-through shot or something. And them deer, like you said, in a blind, boy, they can just, I don't know. It's got that other sense that you're there.
They'll avoid them.
Well, I did it, and that one come through, and it video recorded. And then you could see me in there moving and stuff. And this was getting late. I mean, getting late. And you could see me in there, like, moving over here. Because what happens is that camera, your viewfinder, and all throws off so much light. You got to kind of tone that down. But you can see. And if I can see it, that camera, you know they can see
right.
it.
Oh, yeah. Deer just don't like ground blinds. That's just, I mean, I've killed deer out of a ground blind. My little boy killed a deer out of a ground blind. Me and Matt had a 150 something inch buck, 60 yards, 70 yards from a ground blind. Yeah. And probably could have killed him if that bobcat. Now, that ground blind was a level expert on brushed in, though.
Yeah.
I had a tree. The whole top fell out of it.
It looked like Charlie brushed that thing in. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we just cut a hole in it and stuck the blind in there, and that was it. But,
dude, I don't even brush mine in.
Yeah, but you put yours out in August.
I put mine out in June.
Yeah.
Or July. Late July, early August. And I don't go back to them. You know, and I put my cell camera where I'm going to hunt.
I don't know. Then, I feel like the deer still kind of.
I mean, they'll go by there, but what I'm telling you is once you get in there, one or two people's in there, that changes.
Yeah.
And trying to film.
Yeah,
you got a camera there.
Yeah,
they can see. You can. They just know that
two
stuff.
People. You can. It's better to get in a tree. And I don't know. I've killed piles of deer out of a tree, so I just feel like
the Indians didn't have ground blinds. I'll just say that.
But see, I've killed more deer out of
they
ground
didn't
blinds
have
than I had
ladder
tree.
Stands either. Though.
Tree, I like climb them.
Yeah, I don't. The tree is my, and everybody's got their own thing. I mean, I get.
But really, TJ. If you go back to it, when we all started, I bet we all killed more deer sitting by a stump or a log laying down on the ground than we did anything.
Yeah. I wasn't filming that. So,
yeah.
But, all right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap her up for tonight. Hope you didn't mind us rambling about turkey hunting a little bit. Hopefully, we got some better news next week. We may try to get us somebody on here next week. You never know. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll talk at you next week.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.